SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level three, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bust them, and everybody else in between. We'll welcome our AM radio affiliate in SoCal in a couple of moments, the Mightier 1090 ESPN radio, Bruce Bochy. Bruce Bochy takes one step closer to returning to a World Series in which he has already won three of. Winning four would put him in rarefied air, joining only two Major League Baseball managers have won exactly four World Series championships. The great Walter Alston, who was the Los Angeles Dodgers manager before Tommy Lasorda, longtime Dodgers manager, and the great Joe Torre, who, of course, won with the New York Yankees. So they both won four. Bruce Bochy has won three, and the list is very impressive, even at three. Sparky Anderson, Sparky's bullpen. Sparky Anderson with three, Bruce Bochy with three, Miller Huggins with three, Tony La Russa with three. You know what I never understood about Tony La Russa? And I'm not calling Tony La Russa out on this. It's not his fault. But I've always found it, like, interesting. And it's sort of like society where, like, the small guy pays the price and, you know, the suit gets away with stuff all the time. In that, Tony La Russa is a Hall of Famer. Why? Because he's won three World Series championships. Mark McGwire is not a Hall of Famer. Jose Canseco is not a Hall of Famer. Even though they are, but they're not, but because they took steroids. But so why does the manager who won with player on steroids get in, but the players who won on the team don't? It's kind of like, you know, I always found that to be kind of a little interesting and strange and hypocritical. Shout out to all of our listeners on Sirius XM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. I am Gabriel Morency. We had a pretty wild Monday night as the Dallas Cowboys and Los Angeles Chargers 2017 final score in a game that was pretty much as we probably should have expected it to be. Kind of like, you know, strange with a lot of weird decisions, bad play calling, bad officiating. I guess that's pretty much the theme of the National Football League, isn't it? I can't believe, like, seriously, you could just sort of, like, copy and paste this stuff after an NFL game. I can't believe how bad the play calling was. I can't believe how bad the officiating was. Right? I mean, it's pretty much the same thing with every game right now in this league, and a pretty wild league to bet on, actually. I know everybody thinks they know everything all the time, and nobody's ever wrong, but man, look at yesterday. Cleveland Browns beat the San Francisco 49ers. The New York Jets beat the Philadelphia Eagles. The Buffalo Bills were lucky to escape with a win against the New York Giants last night. And then people are going to step up and say this team sucks and that team this and that and whatever. None of it really matters, right? You survive and you advance. You win in advance. And when we're in January and the playoffs are starting, no one's going to be looking back and talking, well, you remember they were 3-3 and 2-3 and stuff, right? We overreact on a weekly basis. These games are important. They are important. But I've told you time and time again, and it really is true, in which that NFL football teams are all like grown adults, right? They're a lot of them are the same age and stuff. See what I mean? Like, you know, the Bills are 60 years old or whatever, right? 62 years old. They're not going to change, right? The Buffalo Bills are a grown man, right? They're a grown man. They're not going to change. And they're a man who's been divorced, who's lost his job, that doesn't have a pension, and who once had a winning lottery ticket, but it expired, right? That's like the Buffalo Bill organization. You think something good is going to happen, but deep down inside, you know that you're a loser, right? And certain friends, like the Chargers, it doesn't matter whether Dan Fouts is the quarterback. It doesn't matter whether Philip Rivers is the quarterback. It doesn't matter if Justin Herbert is the quarterback. The Chargers have been charging my entire life. Like, you know what I mean? Nothing is ever going to change. They are who they are. Right? Once in a while, some people are able to break the chains of oppression and change who they are. And the Detroit Lions are trying to do it. They're in a metamorphosis. We're getting deep. They're in a spiritual metamorphosis, trying to get rid of the spirits. Now, I don't know, maybe the Buffalo Bills probably shouldn't have built their stadium on top of a freaking burial ground, literally and figuratively. I remember, like, going to a UNLV game in Henderson, Nevada, and I said, man, this place is a real dump. And somebody told me, yeah, it is. They built it on top of a garbage dump. And I'm thinking, I'm like, why would you build a stadium on top of, like, a toxified, like somebody told us, they said, listen, bro, you don't want to know what's in the desert out here. Like, there's a lot of toxic stuff in the sand here. I'm like, so why'd you build a football stadium on it? Well, it was cheap. All right. You know, you build a stadium on Indian burial land, and you know, don't be surprised if you never won a Super Bowl, jackasses. So, listen, the Chargers are going to charge her. It doesn't matter. I don't know what I'm thinking. We've said it a million times over the years. The Chargers, if you're going to bet on them, you bet on the Chargers in a teaser. Because every one of their games is close, and what do you say after every Charger game? I can't believe they didn't win. That's pretty much the gist of it. Every time. I can't believe. Oh, only if they would have made that play. If ends and butts were candies and nuts, right? It's a cold-ass world. Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We're throwing it down on Sirius XM channel 159. Shout out to the mighty 1090 ESPN radio. And many of you are probably happy to see the way that this game ended. And all of you tuning in right now to the mighty 1090 no doubt have seen this movie enough times before. It doesn't matter what city is in front of the name the Chargers. The Chargers will disappoint. The Chargers will lose. The Chargers will underachieve. And this was a battle of underachievers. All right? This is like an American Idol of, like, two contestants that were both eliminated in the first round. And they've been given a second chance and a lifeline once again. That was a hard watch tonight. But I guess if you had the under, then you enjoyed it. 2017 final score, Dak Prescott 21 of 30, 272 yards, one passing touchdown. He didn't run for a touchdown as well. As let's just be real. Dak Prescott outplayed Justin Herbert. And, you know, I say this all the time. Two things can be right at the same time, all right? We live in such a black and white, you know, red, blue. So everything is just so, you know, one or the other in today's society. But multiple things can be true at the same point in time. Brandon Staley is a bad head coach. That is true. The Chargers defense at times breaks down and gives up too many points. That is true. Justin Herbert is super way overrated. That part is also true. Was tonight's loss, was that Staley's fault tonight? Was it Staley that overthrew a wide-open Keenan Allen that would have been a touchdown? Is it Kellen Moore who tells Justin Herbert to throw it into double coverage and, you know, knowingly knows that the pass is going to be batted down and then just, you know, casually walk back to the line of scrimmage for the 99th time? Justin Herbert gets a free pass. Every other quarterback somehow gets crucified. Hell, Josh Allen gets called out more than Justin Herbert does. Justin Herbert's a 500 quarterback.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's do this thing. Sirius XM, Channel 159 of Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our television affiliates, networks, smart TVs, and, of course, the mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in the house. Let's bring in Mo Khan right now. We'll get his thoughts as I just opened up Level 3 by discussing this Monday night football game tonight, and a football game that cannot be blamed. And it's not, listen, we all play the blame game after the fact, so I'm not blaming Justin Herbert for losing this football game tonight. But people are very quick to blame Brandon Staley all the time. People are quick to blame the Chargers defense all the time. And once the fans get a narrative and the media get a narrative about a player, right, they stick with it. And Yeah. Tua has played better football and had a better career than Justin Herbert has had, right? But Justin Herbert's a better fantasy quarterback, or at least he was before. So they, you know, they get their hooks in on people. Baker Mayfield was overrated before, and now he's underrated. People hyped him up too much, and then now they're always terrible when he's not terrible, right? Jared Goff is another good example of this. But let's bring in Mo Khan right now. And Mo, as far as like Herbert is concerned, if you look, like, he doesn't get better. Like, there's no progression. There's no next level with him. If you look at his second half numbers, he gets worse as the game goes on. And I've never seen a quarterback, for whatever reason, we can go into last year's stats in which he had the lowest pass average yard attempt in the NFL for whatever stupid reason. We can get into how a guy that is 6'5 has as many passes batted down at the line of scrimmage as he does for whatever reason. He does have more passes batted down the line of scrimmage than Kyler Murray does. All right, it's constant with a big dude like this. And you were a wide receiver, Mo. I've never seen a quarterback, he gives up on the play all the time. So, like, it'll be like a fourth down or a third down and long, and he'll throw it at a wide receiver that has two DBs on him, knowing that it won't be complete anyways, and he just sort of shrugs, like, well, what do you want me to do after? Yet, I've seen this movie a million times, and I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, but Keenan Allen was wide open tonight. You got to make that throw. If Zach Wilson misses that, Twitter blows up, right? Everyone else, they're mocking. Rodney Harrison's calling him garbage. Somehow, Justin Herbert gets a freaking free pass, bro, and he has for years.
He's now a 500 quarterback in the win-loss record. He's 27-27, Gabe. So, I mean, this is a guy that got the big-dollar deal. This is a guy that L.A. thought would be the man, and unfortunately for him, being paired with Brandon Staley has not worked out. And, you know, you look at this game today, he overshot Keenan Allen a few times, even Palmer a couple of times. But that O-line failed him today, Gabe. You talk about the Cowboys, they had a massive last drive with that sack of Justin Herbert, but they hit him profusely and nonstop. They pressured him off his point of comfort and made him look like he was in discomfort the entire football
game. You sound like everyone else almost making excuses for him. Isn't every quarterback under duress?
No, but they are, but Gabe, but this O-line was nowhere near relevant in this game. He had no time. And this Cowboy defense kept the Cowboys alive because as bad as Herbert was, Dak wasn't as pristine in this football game. And I will put blame on Herbert because you think about that drive they had. They're fourth and goal, and they go for it in fourth and goal with having to do a rollout. Gabe, in football, this might work in the CFL, we have a bigger field. But in the NFL, where you do a rollout, you are limiting yourself to one side of the football field and making it a traffic jam of bodies. You go for the three-point lead. You go for the field goal. You hit that. Guess what, Gabe? We're going to overtime, and we're probably recapping the overtime win or loss for whoever would win at that point. So I just think the play call was not great. And Brandon Staley now, in the 3 years he's coached this LA Charger team, they're 14-14 in games decided by 7 points or less. I mean, Gabe, this is a team should be much better, but you're right. They've charged themselves. They've Clemsoned themselves the last 3-4 years. And especially during the Staley regime. So this thing right now, national TV with eyeballs watching this football game, this was not a great performance for the Chargers. And now they go into their next game against who? The Kansas City Chiefs. They might fall behind the Raiders by the time we hit next Sunday night.
And I think there's enough blame to go around when it comes to the Chargers in the sense that they really are all to blame. Brandon Staley's decisions, it's like he's just digging them a hole, like, throughout a game. And they're, like, he's digging, and they're climbing, and he's digging, and it's like some sort of gravity war going on, magnetic gravity war there. Their defense doesn't make big plays and come up with the big stops when they need them, right? And Herbert doesn't really make big plays under, you know, when they really need them late in games. It sort of gets away from them as the game goes on. So I think there's enough blame to go around. We can get into the play calling as well, but let's just be real. I mean, this has been the same thing. Remember, this is a franchise and a fan base in the old days, bro, that threw Marty Schottenheimer under the bus, or I should say the organization. Yeah. He was winning 12 games all the time, right? But I'm just standing in
15, yeah.
Yeah, and even more exactly. But like, I'm just standing. Remember how much like Anthony Lynn got thrown under the bus? Oh, he's terrible. Yeah. McCoy is terrible. Staley is terrible. There seems to be a common pattern. They never change. It doesn't really matter who the coach is, who the quarterback is. This team's really no different than when Phillip Rivers was the quarterback and or Dan Fouts was the quarterback.
Yeah, it's a DNA in their system, Gabe. I mean, their last run of success was Stan Humphries and Natron Means, and that's over 30 years ago almost.
Bobby
right?
Ross mean, was kind of a one-off.
Bobby
yeah.
Ross, exactly. Right? The late Junior Seau, right? Alpha Panupo, right? But that's so long ago that that's San Diego Charger football. These LA fans have never heard of that football team ever in their life. And this now for them, where you got the Chiefs coming up, that's a massive game for their season because if they lose that football game, Gabe, I don't see the Chargers recovering from this point because of how they've lost these games in dramatic fashion. The Dolphin game in week one, which they should have won, but they lost. You think about this game against the Cowboys now, where they could have won and they lost. And it goes back to their O-line not being as strong as they are and Justin Herbert not being comfortable in the pocket. And I give full props to the Cowboys defense and how well they played. And again, for Dak Prescott, this wasn't his best game, but when he had to be clutch, he was. And he found CeeDee Lamb quite a bit, which made this game a lot more easier for the Cowboy fans out there than what it was against San Fran about 8 days ago.
So it's on to Kansas City right now for the Chargers, as Mo alluded to. Then after that, they are back on primetime television again. And why, oh, dear God, why do they make us watch the Chicago Bears so much? So the Bears are back on primetime because, of course, they are. The Bears are on a Sunday night football. Then it gets tougher for them again, though, Mo. Then they go to New York and take the Jets. And look at this Charger offensive line. They're not going to deal well with that. They're not going to deal well with it. Speaking of which, actually, so, you know, we spend a lot of time on the Chargers here, but I said, you know, you look at the criticism of other quarterbacks, and like Zach Wilson's a good example of this, in which he just got murdered and crucified over and over and over again. And if you look, he went head-to-head with Josh Allen and beat Josh Allen. He just went head-to-head with Jalen Hurts and won a game against Jalen Hurts. He went head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. He actually played better than Mahomes did in that game, right? And the Chiefs ended up winning the game. Zach Wilson, you know, say what you will about him, but he's starting to find a little bit of confidence. He seems to play all right, even though, you know, the offense wasn't great yesterday, obviously. But I'm just stating that once a narrative gets made about a quarterback, it's so hard for them to turn it around. It's like an actor being typecast, Mo. If people think someone's good, they're going to believe they're good. If they think someone's bad, they're going to think someone's bad, and it's going to be stuck in their head.
Yeah, I think, Gabe, we can attest to the fact that Breece Hall has made this offense much more dynamic. You think about his injury last year, they were 5-2 when he went down against the Broncos, and they didn't recover from that point onwards. Breece Hall looks like the guy, hopefully, fingers crossed, no injuries for his career, as he came out of Iowa State, and that guy is a dude. And if he continues to do what he's done so far this season, it just makes it so much easier for Nathaniel Hackett to have plays that play to the strength of Zach Wilson and to this entire offense. And I think now for them, we know what this is going to be about, Gabe, right? Their DNA will be playing strong defense and that game managing of the football on offense here. Not do too much here. We don't need 45 points. Give me 20 points and we'll win it with our defense every single week.
And the Chargers putting themselves in a tough spot right now at 2-3 because there's a log jam of good football teams in the AFC. And tiebreakers, every game really matters. So this is a non-conference game, but, man, you know, Cleveland have 3 wins. Cincinnati are up to 3. Hell, the Colts, you know, like, you go down the list here. This is Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quickest 108 minutes of Sports Talk Radio continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moran. See, we're kicking it. We got our boy Mo Khan in the house. Right now, a lot of stuff to get to with Mo. I want to get us some college football talk. It was a wild weekend. You caught up to date with the Heisman Trophy odds. But as far as the National Football League is concerned, Chargers started to dig themselves a little bit of a hole. We were talking about there's a lot of teams with 3 wins, 4 wins, etc. Right now in the AFC. They got the Chiefs up next. But one team that suddenly is surprising and in second place in this division right now, the Las Vegas Raiders. And the Raiders arguably have a winnable game coming up this week in Windy City against the Chicago Bears. So let's get into this, Mo. Mo, you are a Raider fan. Jimmy Garoppolo, reports are the injury doesn't seem to be as serious as some maybe thought, so they're glad about that. I don't know if he's going to be able to play. on Sunday. Brian Hoyer came in yesterday, 6 for 10, 102 yards. Raiders beat the Patriots. Raiders, are you optimistic about how things are playing out right now for a Raider football team that are suddenly 3-3?
No, because they still can't score 20 points to the offense, Gabe. I mean, they got 21 because of Max Crosby's safety yesterday against Mac Jones, right? I mean, this is a team that has lacked the cutting edge in offense. The way they played against the Patriots, you have to ask yourself, can they continue to rely on this defense, which isn't that great? I mean, Max Crosby has been the reason why they're at 3-3, isn't great to really compete with the best of the best. And I know they're playing the Chicago Bears on Sunday, and this is a road game. And you think about the Raiders playing anywhere beyond the Pacific time zone, they're not that great, Gabe. And this might be a trap game for Raider fans to believe, hey, we might be 4-3 going towards the Lions game on Monday Night Football in 2 weeks from tonight. So I just think right now for them, you have to ask yourself, can they move the football through the air? Because if it's not Jimmy Garoppolo, if it's not Brian Hoyer, you know, Connell, a quarterback, you have to ask Devontae Adams, what's he doing? Because quite frankly, Jacoby Myers has been the much more prolific receiver now than Devontae Adams has been, and that's because he's been double, triple team at times here, but they have not really used the resources well on offense compared to where they were last year under Derek Carr.
You're right. He's been frustrated. I think Devontae Adams has clearly been frustrated by the double teams that he has faced. Myers has played great football for them. So the Bears, Fields got a dislocated thumb on his throwing hand, kind of a problem for him. Tyson Bagent came in. This is like, this really is like, this is basically going to be on Netflix. I don't know, or Disney or something like that. This guy's story. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? This guy's story, bro. Seriously, like this is, he'll be able to give speeches forever, especially if he starts and he plays in the NFL. He'll be able to give speeches forever. Never give up on your dream. I played at Shepherd University and I started in the NFL. It really is improbable. Yet, what are your thoughts on that? If it is Bagent, what can you imagine? It might be Hoyer versus Bagent. Give me the under in the game, bro.
Yeah, I would take below the under if I had to, right? Well, below the under. I just think that for the Bears right now, this is a very key moment for their season because Matt Eberflus is on the hot seat, Gabe. We know that, right? Ryan Poles could be in the hot seat because, again, this is a team that could have two of the top three picks, about the top two picks in next spring's NFL draft. And if they don't do anything now or if this kid does well, that question is going to come up, well, is Justin Fields really the dude for this football franchise moving forward? So there's so many moving parts to this Bears team right now. Are they still playing hard for Eberflus, given that they have the Vikings at home on Sunday afternoon? And now for the Chicago fan base, you kind of want to win a football game. You want to maintain your status as a top pick or top two pick, even with Carolina's involved at 0-6. That, hey, you can control the narrative of this draft board. But again, the question that will come up come April 2024, will Ryan Poles be the one making the selection of whoever that quarterback could be for the Chicago Bears in about 5-6 months from now?
We'll get into Caleb Williams, who for the first time actually didn't look invincible on Saturday night against Notre Dame's defense. But Thursday night football, we've got the Jags. So the Jags, interesting schedule. These guys play 2 weeks in a row in London. They come back home. They play the Colts. Now they're going on the road. They did. So the NFL, like we you know, the Bills were in a weird spot. Like having Jacksonville already in London was a distinct advantage, all right, for the Jacksonville Jags. Now they're right. Coming back. They should almost made them come back on a short week in the first freaking week back. But nevertheless, maybe this catches up to them a little bit. The Saints are 3-point favorites in this football game. The total is 39. We've been riding the Saints to the under, guys. If you paid attention last week, we told you a million times the Saints are a perfect 5-0 to the under. Now they're 6-0 to the under on the season. So they host the Jags. The question is Trevor Lawrence. So he injures his knee. It's not a long-term issue, sort of day-to-day. But day-to-day means we're playing in 2 days right now, Mo. So it looks like it could be C.J. Beathard starting on Thursday night, which means our boy Nate Rourke would actually be in uniform as the backup quarterback. What do you expect? Who do you expect, Trevor Lawrence or C.J. Beathard, to be the quarterback on Thursday?
If you're smart, you don't play your gem among the crown jewels and Trevor Lawrence. You don't do that, Gabe. You don't want to put him at risk again and put him maybe long term, because this is a long NFL season. They can win it with the running game, with Etienne being the guy for them. Beathard's not a bad quarterback. As a guy in his role now, in the character of being a backup quarterback, he can come in for a game or two and manage the football game. It's going to be more on their defense, right? I think you're right. This will be on the under. Both those defenses can play, and I think that's going to be key in this game on Thursday Night Football, is who can come up with the big quarterback pressures, and more importantly, though, can they come up with turnovers? Because Derek Carr has not been great, and I think for Beathard, he comes into a position, if he's going to be the number one guy on Thursday Night Football, to really be, hey, hand off the ball to Etienne and get the ball to Christian Kirk and others on that receiving core and let them make the plays for me and not have to be the guy, not to be the dude on Thursday Night Football.
If you look at the NFC South right now, guys, the Buccaneers are still in first place despite losing a football game to the Lions yesterday. They're 3-2. The Falcons are 3-3. Saints are 3-3. And, of course, the Panthers sitting in the bottom at 0-6. But the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, massive football game this week, Mo. If you look at this division, this is as big as it gets for these teams. And – all right, Tampa's coming off the loss. They're playing at home back-to-back weeks here. Atlanta has a little bit of a problem, I think. When you look at Desmond Ridder, right? There's just too many. He can't throw the ball. Like, if they throw the ball down the field, it gets intercepted. That's the problem. So they play this run game, dink and dunk, and almost every time they take a chance and throw the ball down the field, it either nearly gets intercepted and or does get intercepted. So I understand, you know, I don't know. Are they? I guess where I'm getting at here is, are you trying to build this guy up because you really fully believe in him? And or if not, do you go to Taylor Heinicke? Because Ridder is holding this football team back. But if you think he's a star and you think he's going to be, you know, your guy for years, then I understand going through the growing pains. But I don't know if the upside's there. I just think he is who he is.
Yeah, the reference is going to be on him because Ridder won't have many games, Gabe. He might have a game or two at max. Because, again, you think about how lethargic
you have to think about the other 52 guys in the room. That's sort of the cliche, right? But there's 52 guys in the room here. It's not just about him, guys. Like, we've got other guys that can win, right?
Right. That defense has played well. They've been underrated this year. He has weapons on offense, whether it's Bijan, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and others. He has weapons, and he has not been able to maximize his full potential at that position. And Arthur Smith is a quarterback whisperer. And if you can't get Desmond Ridder to play adequate enough football for your organization, you got to move off and go with Heinicke because they're in the race for the NFC South. And, you know, for Arthur Blank, the owner of this football team, he's been very patient in how he's been as owner for the last 20-plus years in Atlanta. But now it's probably go time because at his age, he don't want to see this team be thriving and be in that conversation as the Eagles, Lions, and Niners, and Cowboys and be part of that whole process. So I think for this franchise to take that next step here, I'm not saying they're going to go after Kirk Cousins now, but they're going to have to look at the quarterback position in the offseason through the draft or through trade because they're probably one or two players away from probably having control of that NFC South for a year or two before maybe Carolina jumps up or maybe New Orleans finally realizes their potential under Derek Carr.
It is interesting. I'm just throwing it out there, but Justin Fields is from Atlanta. It could be a little bit of a quarterback shuffle coming up in the offseason. So looking at the game, so Atlanta and Tampa is an interesting game. In Tampa, they're 2.5-point favorites. Buffalo Bills, 8.5-point road favorites in Foxborough against the Pats. Cleveland Browns, 2-point favorites on the road against the Colts. Detroit Lions, this is a fun football team. They're 3-point underdogs. Baltimore laying 3 in Baltimore. We talked about the Raiders being 3-point favorites in Chicago. The Washington Commanders are 2-point favorites at MetLife against the Giants. The Seahawks are 8-point favorites returning home against the Cardinals. Rams lay 3 to the Steelers. Green Bay and Denver's a train wreck. Green Bay, 1-point road of favorites. Next week, Mo, game of the day on Sunday is the Sunday nighter. The Miami Dolphins, 1.5-point underdogs at Philadelphia. I'm surprised Philadelphia aren't heavily favored more than this. The total is 52. In this game. Lane Johnson did get hurt yesterday. That's going to be a great Sunday nighter next week.
Yeah, it's going to be track me. I think what it'll come down to is now the referendum will be on Brian Johnson, the OC of the Eagles, right? Can he have a better play call sheet than what he's provided for Jalen Hurts this season? Because, Gabe, quite frankly, this Eagle offense has underachieved. This Eagle defense has not played like they did last year. And now all eyes will be on how they move the ball effectively because Jalen Hurts does not look like the guy that they thought he was last year going into the season. And you have to get your playmakers, whether it's Swift, Brown, Smith, your tight ends involved. And now with no Lane Johnson, perhaps maybe for Sunday, if not longer, that Miami defense under Vic Fangio, they are tough and tenacious. And Fangio can come up with some crazy schemes that can make it difficult for Jalen Hurts in the pocket. So I'm quite fascinated to see how that play calling matchup will go between Brian Johnson and Vic Fangio on SNF.
Yeah, the Eagles really haven't played great football this year. They've been saved by the big play. The big play on defense, the big play on offense. They'll hit a bomb here and there, but they haven't been fluid with what they've done, which I think is kind of a sign of a good football team. But at the same point in time, I think they're an overconfident team. And we'll hit this on the other side. As the Jet player said, man, that team talked a lot.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenz. We're kicking it with Mo Cobb. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. I better talk fast. So, yeah, the Monday nighter, San Francisco lays 7 in Minnesota. Christian McCaffrey. It was a bloodbath yesterday for injuries in the National Football League. And so, just quick, Mo, who do you like in the Dolphins and the Eagles game? Who will you be taking right now? We're a week away, but what's your initial feel?
Given the S, the Eagles, I think they have that taste in their mouth that did not sit well after the Jets loss.
Yeah, tough coming off the tough spot for the Dolphins, getting the Eagles off of a loss in prime time television. All right, let's switch over. Sort of, you know, it's partial NFL and part college in the sense that I was surprised yesterday that former Michigan Wolverine Jake Moody missed the 41-yarder with the game on the line. I mean, we're talking about a kid here, Mo. I've seen this guy hit 58-yarders in the wind. Like, Harbaugh used to be crazy with this dude. He'd be like, it'd be snowing, windy and stuff, and send him out there, 56-yarder, let's go. And he'd drill it. He's like really like this Justin Tucker type, but it goes to show, Mo, the pressure of the big stage in the National Football League isn't the same as hitting a kick against Purdue or Wisconsin or something. It just, or even Ohio State. It's just, it's a different league when you get into the National Football League, and he sailed it. It was close, but yeah, he didn't hit it.
No, and he's had a really turbulent start to his career in the NFL. I mean, he hasn't been this.
I only bring it up, Mo, because the guy is a third-round draft pick. That's why. I wouldn't like specific all this kicker, but when you draft a guy and you use a third-round pick, it's because you expect him to make kicks like that.
It reminds me of when Tampa took the kid from FSU in the second round, and the guy got caught like after 9 games, right? Like, you're right, because you're on the microscope, right? Janikowski was the first-round pick, but he had a longevity in the NFL. But I just think in this situation for the Niners, I mean, even though the referees did job him at times in that last – in the fourth quarter and how it played out for them or against them, you know, the Niners are going to be okay. Even without Debo, without McCaffrey, who knows for how long, maybe not too long, they have the depth there to work with. I think Kyle Shanahan is now going to be tested that, hey, I can win with my defense and keep it simple with the offense. And here, Brock Purdy, he said, like, it was my fault, man. I missed throws in that football game against the Browns that I should have hit. And he knows where his mistakes were. And I think the Niners will be okay moving forward, Gabe. And now they have a chance because if the Eagles were to lose to Miami and San Fran were to beat Minnesota, well, now they're at the pinnacle of the NFC going towards the middle part of the schedule.
All right, so injuries were the theme of the weekend, Mo, in the National Football League. But it wasn't just the NFL. Brock Bowers undergoing surgery. Massive. I mean, we're talking about arguably the best offensive player in college football. He is the star now. He wasn't having a statistically great year this year, per se, but still the amount of attention that he commands. Now, you could argue, I don't know what the timeline's going to be for him coming back, but not looking good, actually. I mean, if we're being real here. I mean, look, the SEC Conference Championship game, I don't know the official date, but it's always the same time. I'm going to say December 5th.
Right? December 4th,
whatever. So December, you know, so first, you know, that first Saturday in December, whatever. So December 5th-ish. Here we are right now in mid-October. Man, the math doesn't add up. I guess he's young and he's super tough. I guess he could be back, but even when he comes back, is he going to be the same player? How much of an impact do you think this has on the Georgia Bulldogs? Can they win without a Brock Bowers?
They can win, but it puts more onus on the offense, right, with Carson Beck, a quarterback, because this isn't a defensive-heavy team like they were the last couple of years, because you think about their starters now, they're all in the NFL. And I think this team now has to rely on this offense to win the football games until they get healthy. But if you're Brock Bowers, and let's say, hypothetically, Gabe, they lose one in the regular season and they were to lose in the SEC title game, does he come back for the bowl game? Probably not, right? I mean, he's going to prep for the NFL draft in 6 months from now. But I think for the Georgia Bulldogs, you get the bye week coming up this week, and you got Florida at the end of the month. You should be Florida going towards November, and you should be in prime position to run the table, perhaps, and get yourself into the SEC title game. But again, it's going to be on Carson Beck. And if you watch the Georgia games this year, Gabe, he's had some great moments, and he's had some maddening moments in the season. So I think he's got to find that middle point and not do too much, because right now, being that guy following Stetson Bennett, it's a lot of pressure to continue that legacy of the Georgia Bulldogs to win a third title in a row. And I think this offense has to simplify it until he gets comfortable going towards the stretch run of games.
Hasn't happened in the modern era. The last time somebody won three championships in a row was the Minnesota Golden Gophers in like 1934 or 35 type thing. It hasn't happened in the modern era. It's going to be extremely, it's not that easy. People think, oh, Georgia this, Georgia that, but it hasn't happened. So the updated top 25 right now, the Georgia Bulldogs hang on to the number one spot. Michigan are a strong two. Michigan received, for the record, Georgia got 43 first-place votes. Michigan got 16 first-place votes. Ohio State is ranked third. I think that's too high. They got one first-place vote. The Florida State Seminoles. So people are projecting Michigan to beat Ohio State. The projected playoffs right now, Mo, well, amongst most of the college football insiders, experts per se, is Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, and Washington. With Georgia playing Florida State in the Sugar Bowl and Michigan playing Washington in the Rose Bowl, which would be pretty freaking epic. But let's get into Washington and Oregon. Yeah, Washington won that football game. They could have lost as well. Let's just be real. It was just one of those coin flip things at the end of the game. It is what it is. I'll give them credit for it in the football game. But their schedule is tough. I'm a big Husky believer in all this. I've been backing them, and I've been hyping them up, Mo. But I don't think they're going to get through unscathed. I think they're going to get caught at some point on the road as the schedule gets tough in the final month of the season. How do you think this plays out, and what did you think of the Ducks and the Huskies game that turned out to be a real classic?
Yeah, the Ducks are the LA Chargers of the Pac-12. I mean, ironically enough, Justin Herbert quarterback both schools, yeah. Right? But I just think it goes back to that point, right, in the Charger game tonight where they rolled out.
His brother's on the team, actually. Sorry, go on.
Right,
his little brother's on the team.
Right, and you think about late in the first half when they went for it in fourth and goal and didn't hit, you think about those lost points they had or could have had but didn't have. At the end of the day, Oregon shot themselves in the foot because they had Washington on the ropes. Penix Jr. looked phenomenal.
Would you have punted at the end? Because you're right. It's the same thing. How many times over the years have we, could you say after, if you just would have kicked the field goal there, you probably would have won the game. You can say the same thing about the Ducks. Lanning got burnt doing this last year at home against Washington.
He did.
He's always going for it. The guy's gone for it. I thought I saw a stat, dude. He's gone for it like 29 times or something. He doesn't believe in not going for it. Would you have punted and just – because either way, you're giving a ball back to Penix. I didn't have a problem with them going for it. Herb Street didn't before the play. He goes, I love it. They're trying to make a play. I just didn't really like the play call per se so much. But what did you think about the play call and the call?
What was the play call again? They rolled out, Gabe, just like the Chargers did. They rolled – like this whole notion of rolling out, you eliminate the idea of spreading out a defense on one side, like having them go on one side of the football field. You don't do that. You have to spread them out to give yourself options to work with. I think for Dan Lanning, look, this is a lesson learned for him because he can't do this again, Gabe. This was a spotlight game for Oregon. This was a spotlight game for Bo Nix. This was a spotlight game for Penix Jr. and for UW Huskies. And UW came out looking like roses right now. And now for them, you're right, that schedule will get tougher and tougher going towards the last half of the season here. And I just think that when you look at Oregon State, you look at Utah, USC, these schools kind of lurking around here, there's going to be one loss, and I think that's going to be the Utah game. I think Utah's that tricky team because you think about schools who've gone up against Kyle Whittingham coach teams, they punch in the mouth. And Washington's not one of those teams that's going to be built a blue-collar-like mentality here, and I think Utah can punch you in the mouth here, and that's why that can be the trap game down the road whenever they do have that clash at some point.
All right, what do you think? Man, this is getting good now in the Big Ten. Now it starts to get real. Michigan look like the best team in the country right now, but they haven't had that real true test yet. They're going to have to go to Happy Valley, and then they host Ohio State. That's going to be the back end of the season. There it is for them right there. But what do you think about the Penn State and Ohio State game this week, which is just pretty epic?
Well, Gabe, Indiana gave Michigan a run for its money for like 5 minutes on Saturday afternoon. But look, this Ohio State and Penn State game, which is the noon kickoff for Fox, it's massive because this can give Ohio State a platform to say we can beat a well-coached Penn State team that's played some really good defense under Manny Diaz, who was let go of Miami and thought of being an outcast. But that Penn State team will make things tough because you think about this Ohio State offense, Gabe. They've not really peaked yet against the best of the best. I know they smashed Purdue over the weekend, but now this is their chance to kind of prove to the doubters that they can be up there with the Michigans in this conference. And for Ryan Day, you know, he might have to use that Lou Holtz speech for his Buckeyes to say, look, they're picking against us. They don't think we're going to win against Penn State. But I think for Michigan, it sets up well because you got State coming up this week. You got Penn State in 2 weeks, then Ohio State in 5 weeks. This is definitely an opportunity for Michigan to really kind of set the tone that, hey, the road for the Big Ten goes through Ann Arbor and not through Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, and if you're Michigan, let's be real, their schedule's been soft to start the season. And if you are a national championship contender, you got to be able to win that one road game. You know what I'm saying? You got to go, yeah. Okay, this is a tough one. We got to go on the road. We got to, this is going to be, you know, this is tough, but we're going to go and we're going to win this game. And we're going to prove ourselves. I think they can. One thing, too, Harbaugh's own Franklin, which I don't want to get into too much right now, but Penn State have not done well against Michigan. Even Paterno had problems. Like when they came into the Big Ten, like it's been a nightmare against Michigan. For the record, too, Ohio State are only four-point favorites. It's rare that you see Ohio State as only a four-point favorite at home in a game like this. Total is low, 46.5. So Heisman Trophy, wanted to get your thoughts on this. You know, everybody's so reactionary. And, oh, Michael Penix, give him the trophy right now. Michael Penix, a lot of football left, bro. Right, there's, you know, and like I said, I tweeted this out earlier today. Michigan and JJ McCarthy, he hasn't even taken the stage yet. You know what I'm saying? It's like you guys are all like the opening act and stuff. There's still more to come. Jaden Daniels, another one. No, but it's true. Yeah. Like if Michigan were on the table, suddenly that Ohio State game, and then no one's going to remember what Michael Penix did after Washington have two losses. They're going to be like, damn, JJ McCarthy's 12-0. He's got this many 28 touchdowns, four interceptions, and understanding, but. Or maybe you disagree and you want to give it to Penix. Penix is the favorite right now, -140. Dylan Gabriel's getting love now at 10-1. Oklahoma Sooner. J.J. McCarthy is 10-1. Jordan Travis, who's not getting enough love probably, at 12-1. And Jaden Daniels is putting up stupid sick numbers as well, bro. He's 14-1 right now. And nobody's talking about Drake May. Drake May's 18-1. What are your thoughts on the Heisman? And we got about a minute here.
Jordan Travis is going to split votes with his receiver, FSU. I think Drake May is the guy to watch out for because he's peaking at the right time. I think J.J. McCarthy, for what the odds are, I put money on him going towards the final 5 weeks of the season. Dylan Gabriel, I'm not too much confident about. But again, I think Penix Jr., it's his to lose now, Gabe. If he runs the table, he'll win it. But I think McCarthy could be that guy if he has that massive game against Penn State and Ohio State at the end of the year.
That's the thing. McCarthy, guys, has that stage set against Penn State and against Ohio State. And whether it's fair or not, it's bigger. It's just bigger than Pac-12. You know, the media is going to salivate at this. McCarthy's climbing the draft board on a weekly basis as well. Right? I mean, now he's worked his way. So you see these mock draft top 10. I'm a big fan of his. And, you know, Michigan and Detroit Lions are kind of similar, Mo, in the sense that they really play like teams. Like, they have fun. They're all together. Like, you see, like, when the backup quarterback is in, like, dude, McCarthy hasn't played a freaking fourth quarter yet this year. Like, that's another thing, too. Like, they're not chasing the number. He can put up stupid numbers, but they take him out all the time. But you notice when anybody scores, he's the first guy on the field to celebrate with everybody all the time.
Right.
Like, even when he's taken out of the game, he's not like, oh, I'm a big shot. I'm not going to talk to you. All right, hang on, Mo. I just want to get your quick thoughts on the Canadians on the way out here because great start, I think, for them.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Reg. I can't believe we're done already here. We got a couple of minutes. We didn't get to who ruined your Sunday. I just basically wanted to shred and rip the National Football League referees for their ineptness. My whole deal with the NFL is, how do you expect any 68, 64, 59-year-old and all these other old dudes to actually keep up I mean, look at even the graphic and the shots were showing you. They're all old men, right, for the most part. And they're terrible at their jobs. The thing that gets me the most, though, is just, would it freaking kill them to pick up a flag and admit they're wrong? The 49ers, and yeah, props to the Browns yesterday for winning. The only reason they won the game is because there was a personal foul called that wasn't a hit to the head. And you got all these jackass clowns on the field. Why doesn't one of them just tell the guy, listen, it wasn't, bro, you got it wrong. Let's just pick the flag up. I saw a better angle than you did. And get it right. Thank you and move on. They refuse to do it. An industry that is like has a GDP bigger than most countries do, which doesn't care about the ineptness of their officiating. It's freaking baffling. And it costs people money as well. But, Mo, before we get you out of here, we got about a minute here with you. Yeah. The Minnesota Wild and the Montreal Canadiens. I think the Canadiens have looked good to start the season, but it's still obviously very early, but it's early and already Doc is going to be out for the season now. So the injuries have already hit. They're hosting the Minnesota Wild on Tuesday night. The Canadiens are home underdogs. Who do you think wins the hockey game, the Wild or the Canadiens?
Minnesota does, Gabe. I think right now with Doc out, that hurts their forward line, and now Martin Saint-Louis has got to pull some magical act to get them to play healthy again, and that's not going to be the case. It's unfortunate, Gabe, because same MO the last few years, right? Injuries, 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 and the Doc one will definitely hurt this team's top two-line depth going towards the season.
Hey, great stuff as always, Mo. Time just flew by. Thanks for the time, bro.
Always, my dude. Have a great week. We'll speak soon, pal.
There's Mo Khan with his always excellent stuff with Mo. All right, follow me on Twitter, at SportsRage, and I'll be on with Scott Farrell at 3:25 Eastern time, 12:25 Pacific, every weekday, and I'll have some picks for the College of Football triple header. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.